Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. After this morning's service, Dave ministered in the line for quite a while. And you know how it is, as the lines go on, you know, people leave. And that's okay. They can leave. But by the time Dave got really through, there wasn't but a handful of people left in the sanctuary. Then the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Dave, and he begins to prophesy. He keeps trying to talk to us, but every time that he speaks, tongues come out. And then, you know, you got to interpret the tongues. Then he's going to talk to us. Tongues come out. Got to interpret the tongues. I don't have a transcript. It was quite a while. I mean, it was a while. But I don't have a transcript of it. But the essence of it, the Lord was encouraging us. I remember this phrase, change is coming. And a major change is coming. And things like don't give up. Have hope, and that reflected in the service earlier. Remember how had me give that definition of hope? What has been is not what shall be. And so I was listening to that, and it was encouraging me, of course. And how many of you appreciate our pastor? Thank God for Pastor Dave, and he can hear from God, boy, if he better pay attention. So it was encouraging me, and it also reminded me of a message I had heard even this past week that came through Pastor Bronk. So as Dave was speaking, what I had heard on that message just came back alive in me. So I went back and I listened to that certain portion of it again. So this is my one and only obligatory homage to thank you. Thank you for these scripture arrangements. After this service, this is mine. They do the same thing to me. It's fun. Amen. But see, now here's the thing. What the Holy Spirit, through the service this morning, and then also through Pastor Dave, he was encouraging us and telling us not to lose hope. He was telling us to endure, keep doing those things, okay? And so what I want to do tonight is answer this question. Do we really have chapter and verse 4? Is there a real supernatural revival coming worldwide? You know, we say that all the time. What chapter and verse do you have for that? Is there, because most of the theologians of the world will tell you the time of miracles is past. The time of supernatural healings and that type of thing is past. There are no apostles today. Theology will tell you that, but I don't give a, is it okay to say I don't give a rip? I don't care. What I do care about is what did Jesus say? Okay? So let's start with this. Go open up to John 10. Here we are again. My John 8, 9, and 10 is where I am right now. John 10. Let's look at a supernatural revival that is coming as an end time harvest before the Lord returns. We have chapter and verse for it. Now, first of all, you got to understand what Jesus says about the works. Now, even as I'm about to say what I'm about to say, listen, we are still pressing towards this mark. None of us that I know of have arrived yet. But everything that we say during our calling in the lost, that every disease is healed, every cripple is healed, first time, every time, no exceptions, all of those things, we have been through the scriptures before and seen how Jesus did that at his meetings. And he says, the works that I do, you'll do also. So we have chapter and verse for that, but I'm talking about specifically for the end times. Well, first of all, look what Jesus says about the works validating the message. So we'll pick it up here in John 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. Now, this is one of our verses. If you underline, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. In other words, I've told you that it's the Father in me doing the works. When I come and I speak these words, they're not mine. At another place, I didn't look this one up, Jesus says, my doctrine is not my own, but is His who sent me. Got that? But He's saying here, these works bear witness that I am who I say I am. And what I'm saying to you came from the Father. The works bear witness. Could we use the word power for works? Jesus is saying, my words and God's power go together. They're a witness. The works bear witness. They validate my words. Got that? All right, let's continue on here now for a while. He says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know you can say that same thing. Boy, I didn't get any amens. You guys should be amening and all somebody having a running fit right now. You and your Father are one. You really are. Christ in you, the Father in Him, you and your Father are one. Okay, can't preach right there tonight. Well, he says, I and my Father are one. Then look at this. Then the Jews, they took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, well, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say you of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, talking about himself, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? Now, here it is. They asked him, who are you? He just got through saying, I am the Son of God. Now, here it is again. Look at verse 37 and 38. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me. And I in him. What if that was the litmus test today? Not much of the world would believe us. We're pressing towards this mark. This is the very reason why we spend so much time meditating the Word, praying in the Spirit, fasting, worship, all of the things that we do here. Doing all of those things, driving out unbelief and bringing the true understanding of what the gospel is and what He has done for us. But I'm telling you right now, and you're going to see it. I'm telling you, and then you're going to see where he says it. The day is coming. The day is coming. When we will literally stand before the world and say, if I do not the works of my Father. I've had those showdowns with a word debate. They know their Quran, and I know my Bible. And the longer you debate, the madder everybody gets. Nobody changes at all, you know. That's not how you settle it. That's not how Jesus settled it. Just believe me because I said so. Is that what he said? Believe me because I said so. Sounds like mom and, you know, just believe me because I said so. No, he said the works, they bear witness of what I'm saying. But can you see this? He's saying the works, they validate, they bear witness of my gospel, of the words that I'm saying. Okay, go over to John 14:11. This isn't the only time that Jesus said that, and I didn't near look them all up. This is just to get our thoughts going down this trail here. See, and this is where the very next verse, John 14:12, this is like if we had a foundational verse for the vision of the prayer center? This is it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Well, that's the very vision verse for the prayer center. That's what God told Dave all those years ago. Go to Tulsa, get a group of people, go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. That's our mandate, right? But look at the verse right before it. He said he was really talking to Philip and the apostles there. We'll back up just a little more. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Now here it is. Now watch how he links up words and power again. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now here it is. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, and here it is again, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He's saying the same thing. He says, if I'm not doing the works, don't believe me. But if I am, you better believe what I'm saying. All right? Go over to Matthew 4:23. Now, we're going to go quickly through these. I want you to see that what Jesus was preaching through his 3.5-year ministry, again, we could go back to where he says, the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom is preached, and every man must press into it. What was Jesus preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. He would preach words. You do know that the gospel is words. In John 17, he says, Father, the words that you gave me, I have given them. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own. It's the Father's who sent me. Okay? So now, let's see what this gospel of the kingdom, let's see what it was like. So Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the what? The gospel of the kingdom. But now notice, first he was teaching, then he was preaching, but then, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There's the works. The gospel and the works. You're going to find, let's say it this way, words and power always go together when it's genuinely the gospel of the kingdom. You got that? What's he preaching? The gospel of the kingdom. What's the end result? Diseases are healed, devils are cast out, power is manifest. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Here's another one. You're in Matthew. Go to chapter 9, verse 35. It's almost identically the same. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So what do we see? The gospel, he's preaching words. Words. The words, Father, that you gave me, I am preaching those words to them. If you don't believe the words, how about believing this? And then he heals and casts out devils and manifests God's power. And he says, if you don't believe the words, can you at least believe the power? Can you believe the works? If you don't believe me for the words, or who I am, at least believe me for the work's sake. Good stuff, isn't it? All right, go to Luke 9. I'm going to go there myself because I needed to put a few more verses there. This is when Jesus sent out the 12. Now, first we see these last two verses, we saw Jesus doing it. He's going from town to town, village to village, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And everywhere he preaches the gospel, power is manifested. The works are manifested. But now he's going to send out the 12. So let's start in verse 1 of chapter 9. So then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the what? The kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony. Now here's the verse. We did all that to get here. And they departed. They departed. He's not with all, you know, with them. They departed and went through the towns. What are they doing? Preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So now it's not just Jesus. Now it is the 12. Later on, you know, it's the 70. I didn't look that one up, but then he sent out 70. And they were even surprised when they come back. They go, Lord, you can almost hear it in their words. Even the devils are subject to us in thy name. The gospel of the kingdom, let's say it this way, words and power. Now, the church for generations, the church at large, has been preaching a gospel of words. And can you tell we haven't won the world yet? We have not yet come to the Mount Carmel showdown. You know what I mean when I say the Mount Carmel? Trust me, we're coming to that. We're coming to that. All right? That the God who is God answer by fire. We're coming to that. All right? But it's going to be signs and wonders. He wants people to have a chance. He did not just send out his 12 and say, preach the gospel, and if they don't believe you, shake off the dust. No, he says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, and then, if they don't believe you. He wants us to show this to the world. Now, we still have, so far, we're just looking at everything that happened during his 3.5 years. Okay? Now, the question is do we have chapter and verse for there's going to be an end time revival? And in time, the same kind of manifestation to harvest this planet before the end. We hadn't got to that yet. So now we looked at Jesus. We looked at the 12. You can look up the 70 yourself. Let's look in the book of Acts now. Go to Acts 14. Starting in verse 7. What are they doing there? They are, and there they preached the what? They preached the gospel. This is Paul. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. I particularly love this miracle because it's a birth defect. We got people right here in our church believing God, trusting his word for a miracle to cure a birth defect that medical science has absolutely no answer for at all. But how many of you know our God has an answer? Now here is a man, crippled, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb. I've tried to meditate this, you know. I had polio when I was 5 years old. And I was paralyzed on my right side. I have muscle atrophy. I have to check. There's a muscle missing on my right leg. No matter how much I exercise, it never develops. I have it on the left side, but it's not on the right side. It's called atrophy, okay? But I was paralyzed on my right side for 6 months. When I say paralyzed, I mean to the point I could not open or close my right eyelid. That's pretty paralyzed, you know? When you lay there for 6 months and nothing on that side works, the muscles begin to atrophy. And there was such a difference in my little 5-year-old body after 6 months when they brought me home. I'm trying to picture what this man was like. What his little bird legs must have looked like. This is a grown man, and he's never walked, never ever. I try and picture those little bird legs, you know. So anyway, now this guy, listen, when you're born that way, and you're a full-grown man, you talk about hopelessness setting in. It's been this way my whole life. There's nothing any doctor can do. Wouldn't hopelessness set in? I'm going to be this way my whole life, you know. Look at verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. What was Paul speaking? There they preached the gospel. What if I said it this way? There they preached the gospel of the kingdom. Because that's what Jesus, that's what we're commissioned to preach, the same gospel that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom. Now, here's this man. Paul must have been a really good preacher. Because here's this guy with impossible circumstances, born lame from his mother's womb, never ever walked, looking at his little bird legs, but he's listening to the words that the apostle Paul are speaking, and look what happens. Paul was watching this guy who's steadfastly beholding him, and then Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. Where did that faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That man sat there in impossible circumstances, but hearing the anointed preaching of the apostle Paul. And what was he preaching? It's not a mystery. The gospel of the kingdom. That man, even in impossible situations, he says, I can be healed. I believe I can walk. Man, we're preaching it to mamby-pamby, I think. What kind of preaching was that? I'd like to hear that message. Would to God they had MP3s back then, you know. Boy, I'd like to hear that one. But anyway, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, not whisper, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped. That's supernatural. The first thing you do is leap, and you've never walked. God either supernaturally put strength in them little bird legs, or else them little bird legs fleshed out with some bone and with some muscle and sinew or something. All I know is the guy never walked, and the power with the combination of the words of the kingdom and the power of God changed his impossible to possible. And it happened in an instant. Glory to God. Paul's great reward there, they stoned him to death. Now, at first, they were all happy in Lystra. If you go read that story, the gods must have come down to us, you know. And they called one of them Jupiter and the other one Mercury or something. And they're going to try and make little gods out of Paul and his traveling companions. He goes, no, no, no. And he's trying to tell them it's Jesus. Well, then the Jews come down and stirred him up. And that's the very place. Religion is nuts. That's the very place where they took him out and stoned him. Doesn't say for sure that he died, but, you know, back in those days, they knew how to stone. This was common thing, you know, they knew how to do it. I think probably he died. And the other apostles stood around him and prayed. And he raised up. And I just know me, I'd probably book it out of there real quick, you know. Paul says, I'm not quite through with my message. And they went back into Lystra again. Anyway, that's another message. Can you see this? What did Paul preach? The gospel of the kingdom. He preached the gospel. Here's a man, impossible circumstances, born that way. But when he heard the gospel, faith came into him. And the Holy Spirit used the power of the gospel in that man's faith to generate power that no doctor could ever do. Hallelujah. God has an answer for every birth defect. God has an answer for every birth defect. Amen? Amen. All right. Go to Romans 15. Because let's look at Paul, one more of Paul here. Now, so far, see, we're looking at the historical record. And even the theologians, well, yeah, all of that happened back then, yeah. There was power and demonstrations, but that was only to validate the gospel then. And now, you know, I can try and get the froggy theologian voice. Now the days of miracles are past. Oh, brother. They don't have any scripture for that at all. They're just basing that theology on circumstances. Because God's word does not change. Anyway, Romans 15:9, look at this. This is how Paul preached the word. He says, through many debates in many cities. Is that what it says? Through many debates. Although he did debate the word. There's verses where he did go in and he stood up for the, they call it apologetics, where you stand up and you defend the gospel. But that's not really his main method. That's been the church's method. It's been pretty ineffective. What if we use this method? Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. And that should be a capital S. He's talking about the Holy Ghost. By the power of... Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 15:19. Did I not say that? Did I? I am so sorry. Thou shalt not stone me. I'm glad you interrupted. No. Romans 15:19. I saw that confused look and I thought, I know I'm speaking words anyway. All right, let's start again. That's why you didn't get it when I said, because this is the way we've done it. Through many debates of words, no, through mighty signs and wonders, and by the power of the Spirit of God. And that one's capitalized, and it should be capitalized. He is talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto that place right there, Illyricum, maybe, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Boy, if you underline something, fully preached. Fully preached. In another place, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. There it is again. The gospel is words, but it is the power. Words and power go together. Now again, the theologians would say, yes, we know this. This is all historically accurate, but that was then, Gary. This is now, and the days of miracles are past. Oh, really? Go to Matthew 24:14. This is right in the middle. Well, we've got to at least see what he's talking about here. Where I'm after is, though I'm not going to tell you, you'd be reading down there. Let's start in verse 3. Matthew 24:3. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And we're talking about, well, you'll see here. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now say with me, end of the world. That's their question, isn't it? What's going to be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He's talking about end time things. Jesus starts going through this. I mean, he's... Verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. There shall be, that you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. And we could go on and on, but come on down here to verse 14, because I want to keep it in the context here. Now notice he says an astounding thing. Now the subject is the end of the world, is it not? The sign of thy coming and the end of the world. Now notice, and this gospel of the kingdom. Not any gospel. This gospel of the kingdom. Which gospel? The one that I brought from the Father. The words that he gave me that I have brought to you. Notice, this gospel, the one that goes with signs and wonders, the one where words and power work together. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Say all. All the world. Why? For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, if it's going to be this gospel, it's going to have the same power that goes with the same words. And he's going, the end is not going to come. And I said, well, I'm going to put it in plain English the way I understand it. The end is not going to come until every nation has had a chance to witness the same gospel that you witnessed. Not just words only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. And he's saying the end will not come till every nation has heard that gospel and seen the power of God. This gospel shall be preached, and then will the end come. There is coming an end time harvest before the end of the world where every nation is going to have no excuse. The gospel is going to be preached and the demonstration of power is going to be manifest exactly like it was in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. And we are honored to be a part of that group pressing into that kind of revival. No wonder the devil is throwing everything he can, kitchen sinks flying by your ears, everything in the world at you. You know, I remember that Dave would teach that parable of the boulder that rolled down off the mountain and went right through your living room. Crushed your furniture and your cat and run over your legs and your body and you're all broken up. And the next thing we see, the only thing on you that works is your left earlobe. And we see you coming down Union Avenue, your left earlobe pulling you towards prayer. Where are you going? I'm going to prayer. The only thing working is my left earlobe, and it's what a picture. Why don't you quit? Have you seen your house? Have you seen your car? That boulder smashed your car. It wrecked your house. It broke your body. All your relatives have forsaken you. Everybody's run off. What are you doing? Your left earlobe dragging you to prayer. And you say, my God cannot lie. My God cannot lie. What he says I have, I have. What he says can happen. And I will not be moved by circumstances. I will not be moved by anything around me. I am only moved by the word of God. Earlobe, get me back into prayer. Hallelujah. Look at that verse again. I want to get this in your brain. I want this to be an intravenous injection of the word. I want you to mainline this verse, okay? You know what they call it? Mainline? Yeah. I want you to, with a hypodermic, get this in you. This gospel. Well, if you underline, this is so important. Not some watered down, not some other. This one. The one where words and power go together. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all. Say all. All means all. Every nation. I don't care how small. Another place, every tribe, every tongue, every kindred. Everybody is going to be without excuse. This gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all of the world. Why? For a witness. A witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen that in all the world. Come on. We haven't seen that. In our generation, we can hardly get power generated inside the church, much less outside the church. That is coming to an end. No wonder. I mean, we ought to count it an honor. And right near the end of Pastor Dave today. Now, again, I wish I don't have the transcript. I'm sure once somebody will do a service with it when we have it in hand. But right near the end of what he was saying today, he was looking around, and there, I think there was even fewer people here right at that moment than maybe he's here tonight. And he was saying, don't look at this as defeat. No. This is a sign that we're on the right path. The enemy has to stop us if we're stoppable. And he's done everything that he can to diminish the ranks and just close us down. He's doing everything he can. Don't take it as a sign of defeat. He said, take it as a sign of encouragement. That we are on the right path. We are pressing into that which nobody has pressed into for about 2,000 years. But I'm glad to be a part of the people that's going to be responsible. The privilege of preaching this gospel to all the world. Where words and power go together. That's the gospel of the kingdom. Did you get anything out of that?